John chapter 16, please. There you go, Mike. Thank you. Thank you. John chapter 16. Child abuse right there, folks.
Bless you.
Oh, well. All right, let's all stand, please. John chapter 16. Verse 1. It's in the notes also. If you're struggling to find it in your Bibles, it's in your notes. John 16, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended." And I'm assuming everybody knows it's not talking about having your feelings offended. This is old English, that you will not be trapped, you know, caught in a trap, that sort of thing. You know, it's much stronger than just having your feelings hurt. He goes on to say, Jesus does, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." And I want to say this, the King James is accurate, but very weak at that point. The Greek word is the word this. The word for service is religious service. It's not just diakonos, to serve. It's latrua, trua, which means religious service. And there's a verb here, which means to offer something. So it's talking about like a priest would come and offer sacrifice. There are going to be people that will harm you thinking they're worshiping God, offering God some religious service. Extremely strong. We'll talk about that in future weeks. "And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me." Tonight, we're going to talk about the will of God, the one in the three. This is part A. Next Sunday night, we're going to talk about discerning the one in the three. How do you kind of ascertain what God, what this is about? But we're going to talk about the will of God, the one in the three. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. May this be a profitable evening. May this be something helpful to us. Bless, I ask, and help. My desire, of course, as any service, is just to help. And we're talking about a very serious matter, the will of God. So help us tonight to grasp the simplicity. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Sir Thomas More, is that a name that means anything to you? Sir Thomas More was a good man in many ways, Catholic. But many people would not know about him because the movies rarely showed it. He also burned 6 Anabaptists to death. And he thought that was, look at me everybody, he thought that was the will of God. He was a Roman Catholic. He did stand against Henry, but didn't do any good. He was eventually killed because of it. What is the will of God? What does it mean? So I don't have this written down. By the way, so everybody knows, part B is going to be next week, and I already have 4 more prepared after that. We're going to do this, and then I'll be done. In this church back in the 80s, to be exact, about 1980, there was a young couple. She was from Grafton, Illinois. Daughter, you ever heard of Grafton? That's at one period of time in my life, because of changing of boundaries, that was our address. We lived 13 miles from there, but that's what they called it. He was from Alton, Illinois. You were in Alton, Illinois, too. Does anybody know who I'm? Don't mention the names. Anybody remember them? Their name was Mal and Nan. Nobody just doesn't ring a bell. They were a nice couple in the military here. Good people. Some idiot convinced them the will of God was for them to get out of the Navy. Let me just say this. They had been in the United States Navy 14 years. Why would you get out of the United States Navy before at least getting your retirement? And second of all, he had no ability to pastor. So he came over to Bible college. Jenny knows him. I mean, they came over where I was. He flopped around there for 2 or 3 or 4 years. I doubt if he ever finished an entire semester. He eventually went back into the Navy. That always helps your career, interruption for 3 or 4 or 5 years. And they not only went back into the Navy, but they did this. I would like to know the person that counseled them to get out of the Navy. By the way, you know, counsel is, the will of God gets to be real weird. All right, what we're going to do is we're going to establish that when you leave tonight, the only thing you need to know beyond any shadow of a doubt, the will of God, there's not three wills of God. And no, we're not going to talk about the perfect will of God and the permissive will of God. If you say that language, I know your theological background. That comes from Arminianism. You know, it's almost like God has a plan B. There's only three kinds of will of God. And there's really only one will of God. I say it, the will of God, the one in the three. It's three ways we experience the will of God. So in your notes, the will of God, what is it? And this will open up a discussion we'll be talking about over the next weeks. For many people, and by the way, you have to be honest with this. I think it's always good to start in an honest place. For many people, the will of God is mostly about success. Yes or no? Yes. Happiness, emotions, fun, pleasure, fulfillment, excitement, ease, easy choices. Yes or no? If I have to do difficult things, can't be the will of God. Actually, folks, that's what I actually have heard most in my lifetime. It's last week we talked about doors. And one of the fifth point was, if God opens a door, there's both opportunity and opposition. A great door, and by the way, discerning the will of God by easiness is a weird thing. In your notes, for most people, at least in my experience, the will of God is about success, happiness, emotions, fun, pleasure, fulfillment, excitement, ease, easy choices. What I always wanted to, what's that say? Where I always wanted to do it, and with whom I always wanted to do it. And then we call that the will of God. So what I'm going to ask tonight, what is the will of God? Here is my main emphasis. There's only one will of God. We experience that in three different ways, and we're not given a specific order. The first way we experience the will of God, and the most important, and in some ways, the only thing you need to learn is the moral will of God. And the moral will of God is to be obeyed. Can we agree with that? Yes. That's really, folks, talking about the will of God, most people think, I want the will of God because that's going to open a door and I'm just going to float off into, you know, ecstasy and never have problems, never lose anything. No, the will of God normally and predominantly is simply the moral will of God. And it's something we obey. In your notes, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother. That would include, of course, trusting Christ and following him. Mark 3:35, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother. 1 Thessalonians 4, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification or your growth, that you should abstain from fornication. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. For in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So a person that habitually give thanks to God for what God brings in their life, that is the moral will of God. 1 Peter 4, that he, and it's using he there generically, that the believer no longer should live the rest of his time to the lust of men, but to the will of God. That's not talking about, man, when I got saved, I found out God has a wonderful plan for my life. It's a wonderful plan. It includes, look at me, everybody, it includes no problems, never having a loss. Can I ask you a question? Do you know we have a person in this church this morning that has cancer? Do you know? You will sooner or later. By the way, friend, life is not a joke. I don't know where we get these ideas that somehow God's just going to lift me up, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Tell that to John the Baptist. Tell that to, by the way, tell that to James, one of the inner three circle, when he got beheaded. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Whack! Yeah. Silly stuff. 1 John 2:17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, all the things that we want to do and want to experience and all of those things. It's not talking about sex. It's talking about all the desires that we have. But he or she that doeth the will of God shall abide or abideth forever. Simply stated, friend, and this is where we begin. The moral will of God is to be obeyed. I say in your notes, this is the simplest aspect of the will of God to understand. The will of God simply means this. The word of God is no difference. So when I think of the will of God, I'm thinking primarily of the word of God. Secondly, God commands what he wills and wills what he commands. So if you want to know the will of God, what has he commanded you to do and be? That's the will of God. You say, Pastor, though I want that job where I continually get promotions, eh? And I continually am comfortable and I have the best dental. Please look at me. There's nothing wrong with that, friend, but that has nothing to do with the will of God. How do you talk to people? I'm thinking about doing something. Jenny, if whenever you get finished with a book and I read it, I might buy them for the church. When you read this history of Baptist mid-missions, it's not well written. And just reading it, you almost, for me, and I'm not, you might think I'm, some think I have no emotions, some think I have too many. It's a very emotional book, is it not? Because here's people that knew they were going to places in Africa that would cut a third of their life off. If they survived the diseases. And by the way, nobody knows their name. Anybody know the founding name of the founder of Baptist Mid-Missions? You do, because you. But I don't think they're related. The guy's last name is? Haas. Haas. German immigrants to the United States. What do you think about that? You don't even know their name. By the way, these people were unsung, of whom the world was not worthy and is not worthy and never will be worthy. We don't do much for God by looking for comfort and ease and pain-free life and no difficulties. So God commands what he wills. He wills what he commands. It is written. That's God's will. Can I have an amen? Amen. That's God's will. It is written. For all people, in all places, at all times. It is written. That's God's will. For all people, in all places, at all times. It's not hard to understand, though it is hard sometimes to do. I'm not trying to be cruel here. I'm going to deal with this in different ways in the future, but this is just the introduction to all of this, obviously. So, Pastor, and I've had people tell me, Bob and Lynn Whitaker, people I love, and by the way, she's still alive. He's with the Lord many years. Bob and Lynn Whitaker came to our church in St. Louis. Jenny, they seemed old at the time, did they not? They were probably in their mid-50s when they came, and of course we were in our 30s. All I know is this. Bob Whitaker said, I always want to retire and live in the mountains. I'm going to ask you, is there anything wrong with living in the mountains? But how are you going to prove that from the Bible? I always wanted to live in the mountains. I remember talking to him, and they don't live in the mountains, by the way. They built their dream home in the mountains and lived there less than a year. They found out people in Colorado are not like normal humans. People that live in those mountain regions live there for a reason a lot of times. They're not bad people. They don't like people. They don't like other people. They like to be left alone. And they had a neighbor that kept threatening them with a rifle. So the next thing you know, their dream, God's will, was back to Missouri. Wow. In your notes. Pastor, I always wanted to, you fill in the blank, to live someplace and wanted to do something. And I say in your notes, okay, it's not necessarily bad for those things. And we'll talk about that in the future. But regardless of where and what, regardless of the where I live and the what I do, God is 100% more interested in how we live. That is the moral will of God. The moral will of God is, I mean, most of the Bible is telling us how to follow Christ, and that's what the Lord's interested in. The what and the where is nice, and it's important, And we'll talk about that in future weeks. But regardless of the what and the where, God is 100% more interested in the how we live. Number two, the second, now by the way, not a separate will of God, but the way we experience the will of God. We experience the will of God the first day we get saved, or even before that when we're hearing the Bible. We're hearing what the Bible teaches. We're hearing the will of God. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Here's how to live. We also experience sooner or later this, the sovereign will of God. Sovereign will of God is much harder. It's that which I say in your notes is to be, and I prefer the first word, to be embraced. The second word is fine too, to be accepted. It's something we must accept or embrace, the sovereign will of God. You say, what do you mean? Friends, look at me. If you're of any age, God has sovereignly chosen for you to have some abilities and not have others. And God makes those choices, and sooner or later, this is what you have to do. You either have to fight it, push it away, or you come to embrace, this is what God has for me, whatever this is. Boy, pastors struggle with this too. Everybody does. So the sovereign will of God. By the way, it's not a different will. It's the way we experience it. We experience the moral will simply by hearing the Bible, reading the Bible, meditating on Scripture. The sovereign will of God is what we experience. You know, we bump up against it, so to speak. In your notes, this is so important, but oftentimes hard to accept or embrace. Here it is. God makes choices. Can I have an amen? Amen. Do you understand God makes choices? Let me ask you, do you think God makes one and you make 1,000, or do you think it's the other? Which way is it? God makes one or two choices or lots of choices? Friend, God chose where you were born, your family, your background. He chose your abilities, your lack of abilities. Do you have, by the way, I have some abilities and I don't have others. I wish I had a lot of abilities. Every time I'm around my family and they're singing, I wish I had that ability. I have the ability to sing. Alone in my car. I have recently purchased a set of headphones, and sometimes I'll listen to music. And I don't know if it's a wise thing to sing with headphones on, because I'm pretty sure I'm not on tune, and I'm thinking Jenny might be downstairs listening, and you know, and she might be suffering from PTSD, would be my guess. By the way, do you understand that God makes choices? Next in your notes, choices that are not our choices. Friends, this is just part of what the way the cookie crumbles. Unless we don't believe that God is sovereign, and then we have to say life makes choices, so life becomes God. Next, God makes choices that are not our choices, choices we don't necessarily like. Yes, choices we don't necessarily like. Choices we wouldn't make. If we were making the choice, we wouldn't make those choices. Hard one is this one, choices we can't change. Ooh, that's a terrible thing. Choices we cannot change. Choices both direct and indirect. Sometimes it appears that God directly makes a choice. Sometimes it's you can't really see the path, but you're pretty sure God is involved. Another way of saying the same thing, choices both simple and complex. Sometimes there's a whole chain of events. Next page, please. Here are some of the verses that talk about God's sovereign will. 1 Peter 2:15 is a difficult one for sure. It could be the moral will of God and the sovereign will of God, but for so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. 3:17 is no question the sovereign will of God, for it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him that in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. So there's no question there is an element where we run into God made a choice and we're going to have to live according to that choice. That's the sovereign will of God. And what we do with that, we embrace it or we accept it or maybe submit to it, whichever you prefer. Obviously, we all know this text. And as he was withdrawn from them, about a stone's cast, and kneeling down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, by the way, this is embracing the will of God. Jesus has given us the picture. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Let's look in our Bibles to Acts 16. Would you please? It's not in the notes. Acts 16. Acts 16, please, and verse 6. We'll talk about this probably in future weeks, but this is an interesting text. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, it says, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Notice that's pretty strong language. They were forbidden. Everybody look at me. Is there something wrong with preaching the gospel? How could it not be God's will for you to preach, you know, to go be a missionary? I have met many Christians through this church through the years that say, I think God wants me to be a missionary. And I look at them and I'm like, you have none of the passion, none of the ability, none of the desires. Mission work became kind of, romantic. God doesn't want everybody to be a missionary overseas, to say the least. Here God is somehow... Now, this is the hard part with this. We don't know how the Holy Spirit forbade them to go, but they were forbidden. Then it goes on in the next verse. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed or attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not, would not allow them. So you have now two times. One time they were forbidden to go in a certain direction. The next time they were not allowed to go in that direction. But by the way, friends, later in the book of Acts and Peter, they go into all these places. But right then, right now, we don't want you to go. It goes on and says, and they passing by Mysia came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. You all know what the joke is, right? They had a vision of a man, and that man was really a woman. Her name was Lydia. That's the joke. And by the way, how did that go when they went over into that area? Well, that's when he got put in jail and got beaten. I think we have to reevaluate some of this. There is the sovereign will of God, no question. Well, I have a lot of stories I want to tell, but I'm not going to tell all of them. I'll just tell one. And I think it's an important story to tell. I was asked this question again by my friend Phil Scott. Because Phil said, why didn't you join the Marine Corps? And the answer, Mike, was, well, who would want to join the Marine Corps? But, friends, I joined the United States Navy, which was weird in and of itself. But the weird thing was, I joined the Navy, and I'll tell the story in a very quick manner. Recruiter station. There you go, Alton, Illinois. Little bitty place. You walk in, there was an area here where there were magazines and stuff. You could be seated. And they had four little rooms off. I went there with three guys, Ronnie Crank, Bruce Kendall, and Mike Whitlock. We were going to join the Marine Corps together. That's a given. I went there, and this is not an, and by the way, do you understand the sovereign will of God, that God doesn't let you? Sometimes God just simply says, you're not going through that door, period. This was one of those cases. So I went there, and Phil wanted to know the details, and I said, this is it. We went into the room for the Marine Corps guy, and there wasn't enough seats or enough rooms for four guys, only three guys and the recruiter. So I still remember saying something to the effect, not a problem. You guys go ahead, and I'll just wait for you, then I'll come in. And I'm outside, and the Navy recruiter comes out. He says, what are you doing here? I said, I'm waiting on my friends. We're going to join the Marines. He says, well, why don't you take the test for the Navy? By the way, I had a real good grip on the will of... What was that, Cliffy? Yeah, I made that decision moving forward, too, didn't I? That's not the hard. By the way, I took the test, and I have said it before. I'm not exaggerating. By the way, Mike, this was in the worst time of recruitment in those era. Vietnam was over. Military was getting smaller. They were having a hard time getting people. That Navy guy walked out, and if he was Pentecostal, he would have spoken in tongues in a minute. He looked at me. I still remember. He says, you can do anything in the Navy you want to, even be a nuke. Folks, I didn't know what a nuke was. I didn't know what anything was. So I said, okay. That's my introduction to the military, guys. Okay, I guess. Why not? He said, you did well on math. And it's like, I did? That was funny. Well, I joined the United States Navy. Went to. By the way, you talk about not wise. I went to boot camp in Orlando in June. You go to Orlando in December, folks, not June. I went to Orlando, and back in those days when I had hair and it was long, it covered up my ears. But my ears, when they buzzed our hair, my ears with a hat on roasted on top, literally bled. I remember one night thinking, why are my ears so sore? I reached up and there was bleeding and cracked. Yeah, I remember that. Well, 5 weeks into boot camp, you guys ready? They came to me and said, when you took your test in the AFI station at St. Louis, you had a problem with color vision. Well, I could have told them I had a problem with color vision. I knew I did. And they do three kinds of tests. They do the one where you look through the little microscope at the balls. I can always get all of those right. Those aren't hard. Then they do a test where you look at a little circle with dots in it. I personally believe that's a communist plot. I do not believe there's anything in there. I personally think Anilikanos, like Robert, made that stuff to fool people. Because there is no colors. I never can see any colors in there. And then they do a third one, which is at a distance. I don't know how far back, halfway back. They have three lights, red, green, and yellow. Boy, they tested me. I got tested for half of the morning. And I still remember they came to me. By the way, this happened to me. Do you know who me is? This isn't religion. This happened to me. I'm going to ask you, do you understand the sovereign will of God? Now, unfortunately, God doesn't always slam a door in your face. The lieutenant, I think he was a lieutenant commander. I was with a lieutenant junior grade, which I didn't hardly know what was. I was in boot camp. And I went to a lieutenant commander, and he said, Ralph, or probably didn't call me Ralph, probably called me, yeah, bonehead, whatever. I don't know what I was. What do they call those E1s and E2s? I don't remember that stuff anymore. All I know is this. He said, the Navy has broken his contract. You cannot go into the nuclear field. It's like, I'm 18 years old. I'm fresh off the farm. I have no idea what to do with myself. I didn't know, understand college. And he said, but you can, you know, because you signed up for 6 years to go into the nuclear program, you could go ahead and we have another program you could do. Now, this is no joke. He said, medical technology. Do you understand? I did not know what that meant. I did not even understand there were corpsmen in the Navy. I didn't understand medical. He just said, you can go to college. We'll send you to college. And I thought, well, why not? Can I say, I do believe in the sovereign, I believe in the providential working out of God's plan in my life and yours. But I will say this, not every choice works this way. So, and I want to say this to all of you, this is not good or bad. I told this to somebody recently. I lived in a different generation. Do you know the story I just told you? My father went to his grave and my mother to this day have never heard that story. We had no ability to call anybody from boot camp in the middle of boot camp. There was no phone calls. You kidding me? Whew. I still remember in the 6 week of boot camp, we were so busy with, what did they call that, fleet? What do you do when you're getting up at break of dawn and you're going to make, what's it called?
Service week.
Thank you, Jim. Service week. That's what you call it. You're probably one of those guys that invented it. Service week. And I remember writing my mother a letter saying, Mom, and literally the letter was like three lines. Too busy to write. Sent her a letter. And I was too busy. I did that in the dark in boot camp. Mom and Dad still to this day have no idea that I was going to be a nuke. They wouldn't have understood what a nuke was. They didn't understand what a med tech was. Can I say this to all of you? Everything in my life comes down to the sovereign will of God. You either do this, look at me, you either fight things or sooner or later you embrace things. Can I say this to you? Many people... You know what's funny? I want to know the will of God, which what you really want is this. I want everything to be perfect, not have any difficulties, not have any problems, have fun, do what I always wanted to do, do it where I wanted to do it, and do it with whom I wanted to do it. That's the, no, the will of God is God makes choices. And those aren't bad. By the way, I want to be careful. This aren't bad things. It's just the way it is. And I would say most people in this room that's been down the road has experienced that. This guy experienced it. He came to Great Lakes. If he hadn't have come to Great Lakes, he would have had a very good life. If he hadn't have gone to church one night, he'd have had a perfect life. Cliff, some detailer gave you Great Lakes, brother. Huh? I bet you wanted it, didn't you? Anything but, yes? In your notes, let's finish this section up. God's choices should, and this is Ralph Warren's opinion, much more with age. God's choices should be our starting point, not our ending point. Just understanding that God has a sovereign will, and I want to embrace God's will. So simply stated, we want God's will. We submit to God's will. We accept God's will. We embrace God's will. Or if you like it in Latin, and I do like the Latin because, friends, this was John Mason Peck's favorite statement, Deo volente, which means God willing. By the way, that should be not some religious thing. That should be where we begin. We're going to try to do X, and if God doesn't want us to do that, that's fine because God's will. That's what we're interested in. So the moral will of God, we're supposed to do it, obey it. The sovereign will of God is embracing it. We have these other verses. You know them. After this manner, therefore, pray you, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, which has a big element of I'm going to obey the will of God, and I'm going to embrace the choices God makes. Now, I want to say one thing before we continue. I don't want to scare anybody. I actually hold to something, the third part, that many pastors no longer hold to. We'll be spending time talking about that. But the most important thing are the first two, the moral will of God. We see that in the scripture. And the sovereign will of God simply is God says, no, you're not going to do that. Or yes, you're going to do that. Or even how successful you are. It's important to grasp those concepts. Let's look at the next passage, James 4:15. This is Deo volente, by the way. For that you ought to say, not at the end of your prayers, but at the beginning. It should start your day, if the Lord will. That's Deo volente, God willing. We shall live and do this or that. Or Acts 21:14, after Paul and Luke and a bunch of people were arguing with Paul about the will of God, Luke says, we finally said this, and when he would not be persuaded, we see saying, the will of the Lord be done. Let the will, God's will be done. Point number three, the personal will of God, which is to be followed. All right, everybody look up here, please. I will put this thing, we'll do a photo of this book. This book right here, which I'm guessing no one in this room has read, this book right here was a nuclear bomb in Christian circles in my youth. People have been playing the game about the will of God. You know, I know the will of God because I feel like going through that door, you know, or I prayed about it. Or as Pastor Koch said Wednesday night, I had peace about it. This book, you all hear me, this book destroyed that whole philosophy. It's called Decision Making and the Will of God. And one of the things, by the way, it's not a small book. It is a long book. And if you want other ones, I have better ones that are shorter. This book is 450 pages. Friend, one of the things it demonstrates is this. Do you understand what most Christians call the will of God is actually paganism? When you go to the Bible, anybody? How did the pagans determine God's will? There's a passage in Ezekiel that talks about shooting arrows. There's other passages that talk about, and my favorite is this. Now I'm quoting a Ron Hamilton song. And does a liver make you quiver? They would kill animals. Oh, by the way, there's hundreds of books that we have from the Middle East on determining. So this book, I think wrongly, takes this too far, where there basically isn't a will of God. So you understand, I disagree with the book in general. Though his basic premise is, look at me, if you're in the United States Navy for 14 years, what is the will of God for you? Stay where you are. By the way, but where do you learn that from? 1 Corinthians 7, which tells you, in all things being equal, stay where you are. But what's our thing? The will of God is out there someplace, over here, doing this. Now, I didn't have any of this knowledge at 18 years old. How would I have found this knowledge? 1 Corinthians 7, we don't have time to turn there, but it's very clear. Paul says, wherever you've been called, whatever calling, so if you were called as a Navy guy, you stay in your calling, all things being equal, unless God specifically calls you out of that, and you better know it. There was a Bible, when I went to Bible college, there was a church in Charleston, South Carolina, big Navy church. I believe, look at me, they had 60 students in Bible college. I'm not convinced any of them ever made it through Bible college. You know why? Because it was nonsense. You don't like the Navy? God has a better plan for you. No, some of it is people think if I just get on the ship called the will of God, there's no work, there's no difficulty. Man, then there's just different kind of work. Anyhow, this book, Decision Making in the Will of God, it's a hard book to read, and it will challenge you on places you don't want to go. I can promise you that. And if a person acts like the will of God is just a matter of organizing, you know, circumstances and what you want, and I prayed about it and I feel this way, well, you don't read that book. In your notes, I do believe there is a personal will of God. That's, by the way, not a separate will. It's all one God. God's will is one. But we experience it, look, folks, in the scripture, that's the moral will. In life, where God makes choices, that's the sovereign will. And then thirdly, you experience it. God has a personal aspect to this, I believe. My favorite verse in the New Testament on this is Acts 13:36. I have preached on this, meditated on this. It's helped me immensely. For David, after he had, what's that word? Served his own what? By the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid into his fathers and saw corruption. So for me, the personal will of God, I'm giving you the positive side. The personal will of God is all about and only about serving. So if you're thinking about the will of God, he says, Pastor, I want to do the will of God. All ministry as a Christian is ministry. It's about serving in some fashion. Next, it's about serving people. It's not about making money, not about being happy, not about having a bigger house, bigger car, and all. Just the nonsense that people talk about. Can I ask you a question? Do you understand that many Christians around the world have no ability to make choices? Hello? It isn't like they can make a choice to get a different job. We have one of our problems in our country. A good book, by the way, it's still out there. It's not on Kindle. Is it called Hyper Choice? That book is devastating. The author basically taught me the one thing. We have too many choices in our culture. So we can't figure out. By the way, most cultures don't have any choices. What do you do? What your father did. What do you do? What you have. Talk to Ingie down here about his mother. His mother is a lovely lady. I hope to see her sometime. Ingie's over here. By the way, I'm assuming you know being supported by the other family to go to school. His mother every morning gets up. She has to go work on the farm. The farm is not, don't think of a farm. Think of a large plot, maybe an acre. It's a garden. You got to do that before you go to work. Why? Because that's where you eat from. Pastor, I want the will of God. What I want the will of God to be is a big screen TV. Whew. That's really not much to do with the will of God. So the will of God is always these things in your notes. Serving people. Yes, it has to be serving at a particular time and place. David served his own what? Generation. That's a particular time and place. And lastly, this is a course from the Puritans. It's serving God by serving people in our particular calling. So that's really where the action is as a Christian. It's not about getting an advancement or a promotion or one more this or one more that. Evan asked me, not the nice Evan, the not nice Evan asked me last week, of which I'm going to answer one whole Sunday night. We'll answer the question. I'm going to call it a fair question. How did you make a decision to come here? Look at me. A big piece of me coming to Lake County comes down to I believed then and now that I could, not the only piece. There was lots of pieces. I'll do that in future weeks. I believed I would have more opportunity for serving. Are you all listening? Serving. and God has proved that to be true. I do not believe God's purpose for you is money. You got to make money, you got to make a living, all that's important, but it's serving. Do you have a bigger opportunity? So I go back to Duncan over here. A few years back, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7, it's been too long to remember. He comes to me and says, we want to start a ministry on the base. That's the will of God. We have an opportunity to serve more people. Hello? Dada comes to me years ago, and he asked a funny question. He told me, he didn't ask, he told me. He wanted to go to Bible college. And what did I reply to you? Do you remember what I replied when you said you wanted to go to Bible college? You don't want to go to Bible college, you want to go to seminary because you already had an undergrad degree. Was that a good choice? You had a bad professor named Bowder, correct? By the way, has that opened up opportunity for him, yes or no? How many days, do you still teach in the Philippines? How many days a week?
Twice.
Just twice a week? How much do you get paid for it, is what I want to know. You doubled it. I need to join up with whoever you're teaching because my pay is pretty bad. Cliffy, how are you doing on seminary?
I got one more report until May 1.
When do you finish?
Still a couple of years to do, right?
But the purpose of seminary was for you to be able to serve here and be expanded service, do more. That's what you want to do. By the way, you say, listen, I like what the Haas young man's doing. Do you understand he's really good at what he does with trees? You all know that? He's got an education, and he's serving people. And he actually likes it. I like all of that. That's the will of God. All right, in your notes. No tricks here, friends. Since the 1970s, so I'm just going to say, I'm going to briefly tell you some elements of this book. Since the 1970s, and this book, I don't know if it was published in 1980 or this edition was, but I knew about this as a very young man. This man, preachers were infuriated by this book. But the bottom line was this. The reason people started to attack the personal will of God was this. The will of God almost always meant what I already wanted to do. So they were like questioning, what do you mean the will of God? You're just doing what you want to do, calling it the will of God. Or they would say, you know, they would attack this. The will of God is always about how I, do I need to tell you the next word? How I feel. How I feel. Can I say this? You're never going to do the will of God if you ask you how you feel. And then I don't know what that's got to do with doing the will of God. You also had this, the will of God conflicts with the word of God so often. And that's one of the problems we run into also. And then, of course, here's the last concept, discerning the will of God. And this just became just constant. And I have seen it in my pastorate. Discerning God's will is always about the emotions. So friends, are you ready? The last one we'll deal with is the will of God in emotions. You mean to ask you a question? And by the way, the guy you're looking at now has read 2 major books on emotions in the last month. I spent all day on Friday reading on emotions to the place I'm becoming emotional. Oh, theories of emotions and how emotions fit in. Can I say this? Most people confuse their emotions with the will of God. Let me ask you, on the cross, was Jesus happy or not happy? I don't know what emotions have to do with doing what God has called you to do. Not everything is going to be happy, but I want to say this. Look at me, and I want to conclude. Everybody, look at the bottom of the notes, and then we'll look at the verses. Remember, there's how many wills of God?
One.
We experience it what? How do we experience it? Here's how we experience it. Primarily, it's simply the scripture. It's the moral will of God. What do we do with that? We obey it. Secondly, we experience the sovereign will of God where God makes choices. Sad news, I found out my buddy Jesse has color vision problems too. We thought he didn't. I hoped he didn't. Because my daughter, you know, it goes from the father through the daughter, and the daughter doesn't have color vision problems. She's a carrier. So at least Jesse now, so which means, do you understand what that means? That means many jobs are eliminated right up front. Makes no difference to your IQ or anything. You can't correct for color vision yet. You say yours glasses. I had some wonderful people get me glasses. All those wonderful people. I bought another pair of glasses that are even more modern. Can I tell you what? I still can't tell the difference between green and brown. If there's a difference between green and brown, somebody's been fooling me for 66 years because I can't see the difference. I want to say this to all of you. I was in Bible college. Jenny knows this. I had my favorite coat. I wore it all through Bible college, a nice brown jacket. I loved that jacket till I found out that jacket was green. I want to ask you a question. Do you think I have a choice? None. But I want you to understand, Pastor Warren does believe there's a personal will of God. Yes, I do. I have some problems with the concept because of the nonsense that I have experienced. In your notes, from these verses, Paul says this, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God. He's not just talking about the moral will of God, though that would be obviously a given, or even God's sovereignty. He's talking about that would be my particular calling and purpose, to come to you by the will of God. 1 Corinthians 1:1, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. I do believe that God has a calling for us and purposes for us, and some of that is the personal side of this. 2 Corinthians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Ephesians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Colossians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. 2 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So everyone look at me, I'm done. How many wills of God? One. We experience it in three ways. What's the most important? Knowing the Scripture. The Scripture is the primary place. Secondly, God simply says no sometimes. God makes choices. That's fine. Listen, I always wanted to be, no joke, if I had my dreams, I always wanted to be able to sing. God decided I didn't have that gift. Or not any, by the way, no one wants to hear me sing. I think that's the difference. All right. So this was your introduction. How many wills of God? One. How do we experience it? Three different ways. Now, for all of you that want to know, see the book? Here's where people got angry. The book is basically decision-making, and it's a good book on that, and it was telling you how to make wise decisions. By the way, a man that came to me, if you come to me, or somebody in the church in the future is in the United States Navy. Now, if you're in the Marine Corps, I'm going to suggest you get out and go into the Navy, but sorry, Mike. And by the way, would I do that? The answer is, in most cases, no. But if somebody's been in the Navy 4 years and they say, I don't know if I want to stay in, that's fine. But you've been in 14 years. Sorry, friends, you should stay in the Navy until you've got your 20 years in. It doesn't even make sense. Just makes sense to me. Now, do I believe that I'm in this church by the will of God? Yes. Has that made every day of my life easy? Wow. Yeah, my experience to the will of God was, by the way, there's only a handful of people that were here. The day before I became pastor of this church was one of the most traumatic days of my adult life. But other than that, things were good. Yes? Some of you are looking around like, I'm not going to tell you what happened. You don't want to know. If the will of God is discerned by being happy, oh, you're in trouble, you're in trouble, you're in trouble. Because wherever you go, sooner or later, you run into some unhappiness. And what do you do then? You start looking for the will of God again, because you must not be in the will of God, because God's will is peaceful and wonderful and fulfilling. And woo! You know, God's will is God's will. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for the time that we can look into these beautiful texts. Lord, I'm trying with all of my heart to be honest. We're really too focused on this personal stuff, when in reality, most of the time, those choices are only a few that we have to make throughout life, not 100. Whereas knowing the moral will of God is an everyday occurrence, and embracing your sovereignty is something we all have to do. So, Father, may we embrace your sovereignty, may we obey your moral will, and may we follow your personal will for us. And wherever you call us, may we follow and do what's right there, we ask in Jesus' name.